Moncrief on News Talk.
Is sport getting stupid? We've talked previously on the show about slapping contest and the latest what's called the Run Nation Championship, where two burly men run at each other with the aim of knocking over the other. The point doesn't seem to be about skill, but potential damage. We're joined by Cameron Hill from Off the Ball. Cameron, is this going to be, are you going to extensively cover this from now on, this kind of thing?
Well, it's funny, Sean, when a new sport comes onto your radar that you've never seen before, as this did last week, you kind of try to measure it on its merits. Is it a test of one's endurance, of pushing your body to the limit? Is it grace under pressure, maybe pure skill? This feels like it's just purely Darwinian. Or it's like to try and eradicate the type of people who'd be into this. So as you mentioned, it's two burly men, one of them holding a football for whatever reason. It doesn't seem crucial. They sprint at each other on this big, long catwalk and don't wear any padding, no protective gear, just smash into each other and to see who will get knocked over. If both of them fall, they go again, and they have a thing where judges will decide the outcome of the respective bouts. They're divided into different weight categories, but the objective is basically to knock your opponent flat on their back or face.
Yeah. Now, was it kind of an offshoot from rugby league?
Yeah. So I was looking into this a bit. Apparently it comes from, there was a trend maybe last year called Run It, or the Run It Straight Challenge on social media, where kids and young people of a certain persuasion were doing this in their backyard. Basically just getting to both ends of the one in either end of the backyard, running at each other as hard as they can to see if they'll knock each other over. They decided, this is great, we'll turn it into a sport and make it professional and somewhat codified. And that's where it's come from. So there's been two events, both in Australia. I think there's a third on the way in Brisbane soon.
Yeah, and like in rugby, if two people crash into each other, there's usually a pause for 10 minutes while they check for head injuries and all that kind of stuff and possible yellow cards, etc. The potential for injury here must be huge.
I think that's the whole kind of appeal of it. So yes. I saw the Guardian did a write-up on it and said it's not so much a sport as an exploration of the frontier of sporting violence, a macabre social experiment to see how far athletes will push their bodies in the pursuit of victory and money. Concussion roulette is probably a nickname I would give to it, because it just seems like the object is not only to knock out your opponent, but knock them out, as in to inflict as much physical damage on them as possible. And organisers, the organiser Tremaine Fernandez pointed out that they've actually taken measures to limit the violence. So we've manufactured side-on contact, many markers and rules. We've got two New South Wales paramedics on the field. If it's something more severe, we've got neurologists, physios, chiropractors, whatever the injury may be, whether it's a shoulder, a sore arm, whether it's a hit to the head, not one stone has been left unturned. Which, you know, if you need that many medical personnel on the side just in case anything happens, like you're nearly there, is what I mean.
Yeah, that tells its own story. Now, we did talk about the slapping before, but the slapping is similar, at least in, it's just about inflicting pain on another person until one person cracks.
Exactly. And it's actually been backed. So Power Slap is the official league, and it's been backed by UFC boss Dana White. As it implies, two people face each other and take turns smacking each other in the face with an open hand until one collapses. But what's so interesting to me about this and Run Nation is the pageantry, similar to like a boxing event. So there's walk-ons, there's huge big fanfare around the pre-match sort of pomp and circumstance. They do press conferences and kind of do the typical sort of Ali / Mike Tyson trash. Oh, I'm going to knock you out. It's like, yeah, fair enough. You probably are. Yeah. That seems likely. When two like combining forces hit each other, that's what's going to happen. Because I'd never seen this before. And I watched clips over the weekend and the commentators were sort of aghast. They both fell over, which is a sort of... yeah.
I could have told you that.
What a shock. Car jitsu.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu, but in a car.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah, so they start, there might be people around the country with kids in the back who have their own form of car jitsu happening in the back of their car right now. Apparently a 2006 Toyota Scion is the industry standard.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. For obvious reasons. But they start in the front seats with their seatbelts fastened, sitting upright. When they say go, they take them off and try to wrestle each other, basically, using Brazilian jiu-jitsu. They can use the seatbelt, the headrest, the steering wheel, the seat recliner to their advantage in order to basically choke their opponent out.
Oh, this is all about money, is it?
Kind of, yeah.
How do they make money from it?
Well, it's... It's basically to do with social media engagement. So a lot of private equity funds, in a similar way to how a lot of private equity funds are investing in football teams like Wrexham and Birmingham City in England, it's to show that social media engagement and business and the potential for sponsorship through the popularity of a sport on things like Instagram. So they call this thing the IP flywheel. So the network of sponsorships, merchandising partnerships and media deals that help build a sport's new revenue base and attract further investment all come down to clicks and likes. So, for instance, Run Nation has about 150,000 followers on Instagram, their actual page. And it's to show that there is a popularity for this, which leads to investment so that they can fund bigger events and events like you've seen with the two events in Run Nation or the huge Power Slap events or other ventures like, say, Baller League, which is this new kind of six-a-side soccer tournament that's being trialed in the UK and the US. It all seems very flimsy. It seems like they're kind of maybe, I don't want to say pump and dump schemes, but that it's all based on kind of false and not very solid foundations financially.
Though, I mean, they're getting like venture capitalists and the like to invest in this. And maybe everybody thinks this sport will last for a year or two. We'll make a few bob out of it and then everyone gets bored.
Yeah, and it's preying on what I call sporting hedonism. So the appeal of this is for people who love the hits of rugby, but maybe not the, you know, 79.59 minutes of the other stuff in rugby. There's another one called the Tomorrow Golf League, which is like a virtual version of golf that Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods started, which is played on a simulator. So you have all your drives, your shots and putting, but there's none of the tedious walking around and waiting and playoffs and having to wait till the other group plays through and all that sort of stuff. So it takes all the good bits of sport, or the bits that we really watch it for, and gets rid of what they call the chaff, the tedious stuff, which feels kind of unfortunate, because I think anyone who likes rugby and, say, watch Super Saturday of the Six Nations, part of the appeal is that you've gone through kind of the bad stuff to get to this crescendo and this finale and this utter euphoria. If you just have the good part of sport, like, why don't we just start a football match at 90 minutes? Like, really see, you have to go through the bad to get to the good.
Yeah. Though, in the attention economy, with dwindling attention spans, maybe this kind of thing will overtake the traditional sport where you have to wait for the result.
Absolutely. And gimmick seems to come to the fore. Like, I would count, you know, the enhanced games where they're letting athletes take whatever they want under controlled environment. I feel like that's part of that, where it's sort of a, let's see how far we can take this and what nonsense can we inflict upon sport viewers in the interest of entertainment now.
Yeah. God, that's a grim specter.
There you go.
Really. But I mean, if it's only got 150, like if the crashing into each other sport only has 100,000+ followers on Instagram, that's not huge.
No. It could grow. Maybe there's nuance to it.
Yes.
Maybe I'm not appreciating that.
When they run at each other, how long does each bout last, for want of a better term?
So from what I could see, funnily enough, they don't really explain the rules when you actually watch this 2-hour long stream of it. But if a player gets knocked over, they have an attacking, where you're carrying the ball and being tackled phase, and a being tackled. So they swap around. But if someone's been knocked out, it's kind of like sudden death in a penalty shootout, where if you've been knocked over, you get the chance to knock over the other guy to even the score. If you can't, the other guy wins.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. I won't be tuning in next week.
Yeah. And if there are different weight categories, is there one for like really small, skinny people, you know, kind flailing their arms at each other?
They all seem absolutely huge. That's the problem. Like, cruiserweight seems like a generous term.
Yeah. Huge, huge and huger. Yeah. Cameron, thanks, William, for telling us about that. That was Cameron Hill there from Off the Ball. They won't be covering any of those sports, it seems, in the near future.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.